Hey, my name is Kevin Clark. I'm the host of a new football podcast called Slow News Day. I want to tell you about it. On Mondays, Lindsey Jones and I will recap the weekend in football that was, as well as look ahead to what's next. On Wednesday, the normal Slow News Day, the thing you've been watching for years, current players, current coaches, current analysts talking about the football world. And on Friday, a wild card. Could be some college football, could be more pro stuff. It's a video podcast, so you can watch it on Spotify or listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. Follow on Spotify. It's Slow News.
It's the Ringers Philly special presented by FanDuel. April showers bring a loaded sports calendar, and FanDuel is the place to bet on it all. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and get paid instantly when you win. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Welcome to the Ringers Philly special. Sheil Kapadia joined by Ben Solak, ace producer Cliff Augustine. I think this is the shortest amount of time I've ever had from one podcast to the next podcast because we just finished recording Extra Point Taken on the Ringer NFL feed. Make sure you listen to that. We get into a bunch of league-wide stuff. And now what was that, Ben? Like a 90-second break where you're looking up Kyler Murray's contract and now we're back potting again.
I feel like I should always... Whenever we do this back to back, I feel like I always need to have a different voice for the second pod, as if like it'll help differentiate it, and not that it'll be cut and edited and put on two separate feeds. But no, it's just us just talking about the same stuff we were talking about, only different.
Should we have changed sweatshirts? You know, like a game show host who's recording like 10 shows in one day. He's got to change the suit, right?
To show that time has passed. Yes, that's what we'll do in the future, even though it's a completely auditory medium. That's why I said I feel like I need to change voices. It's like the game show host changing suits to show that we've entered a different time.
I kind of like this. Like today I've got two podcasts and then I have to write something for The Ringer. Like I'm just all Monday, I'm just knocking out like basically all content for the next 3 days. So there we go. All right. We've got Eagles news to get to. A lot has happened since we last spoke on this feed, most notably Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, no longer an option for the Philadelphia Eagles. He signs with the Detroit Lions a one-year deal up to $8 million with $6.5 million guaranteed. Ben, I talk about a projection I was wrong on. I was saying, well, you know, if things don't work out for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, he'll probably have to sign the Justin Reed deal from last year, 3 years, $31.5 million. Well, he didn't come close to that. And so now he goes to Detroit on a one-year deal. Reporting from Jeff McClain and others that the Eagles offered a long-term deal at the start of free agency. Gardner Johnson did not like the details of the long-term deal. Eagles move on to James Bradbury and Darius Slay. And then Gardner Johnson ends up signing a one-year deal with the Lions. Your reaction when you saw this news last night? Or your analysis now, I guess.
Well, here's where we're at. March 19th, which was Sunday, the day that he signed, the news broke like in the evening, right? It broke late. And at 11:30, Universal Sports Management, which is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's agency, tweeted, perception versus reality, dot, dot, dot. 1 year real versus 3 year fake, dot, dot, dot. Which sounds better to you? And with a pawn emoji. Interesting. Okay. 1 year deal equals $8 million. 3 year deal, $24 million max with $17 million year three. Which one are you taking? Mic drop. So, Once we reach the agency tweeting angrily about reports from Eagles reporters saying that the Eagles offered Chauncey Johnson more than he ended up getting, and then he wanted to get more, so he went to the open markets, and they signed James Bradbury and Darius Slay, and then they tried to come back to him, but they didn't have the money anymore, so he had to sign a one-year deal with the Lions. Once we reach that stage, you know that a market was misread very badly, right? I mean, like, I am very surprised that we got to the point where Chauncey's only making $8 million in one season. I would guess that, like, you know, basically they got to the point with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and his team where they said, we're going to go to Aaron Glenn, who knows how to use you really well. You're going to play on, we're going to play for a one-year deal, and then we're going to try to hit this free agency market again. And we're going to, you know, try to go for that bigger contract, that heavier contract, that larger guarantees. He had six picks this year, and so I don't know what bar we're trying to clear. I don't know.
How is his value going to be higher a year from now? Yeah, I mean, he played for a Super Bowl team and had six interceptions on a defense that statistically was a top five defense. So I'm with you there. Like,
I don't know how it goes up. You also get a year older, you risk injury.
Yeah.
I just don't like it's that's a really tough needle to thread. I'll put it to you that way in terms of getting, I think the value add that you wanted to get. And then the Eagles side of things, I feel like we did a pretty good job talking about this. We're like, early on, we were like, I think their priority is Chauncey. And then once they moved on and they signed James Bradbury, it was kind of like, all right, well, it seems like they've moved on from Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Jesse Bates has signed his deal. Chauncey's probably looking to get close to that. He's not going to get up to that, but he's probably trying to use that as a market setter. And then Jordan Poyer comes in super cheap, and Von Bell came in cheaper than expected earlier in the safety period. It's like, all right, he's got this really big chasm, right? Jesse Bates making $16 million per. Jordan Poyer's making like $6 million per. He's got a $10 million range he's trying to land in. It's very difficult to figure out where he's going to be. And meanwhile, the Eagles are like signing Fletcher Cox back to a one-year deal. And it's like, all right, the Eagles are spending their money. Like every pod we hopped on, we were like, I don't know if they can get Chauncey done at this point. Like, I think they're going to keep talking to him, but I'm not sure you can. And it seems like there was a little bit of a burned bridge there where Chauncey probably felt like he was lowballed, you know, back in early March when the Eagles are making their initial offers, and he didn't want to come crawling back to the Eagles and saying, all right, now I'll take 80% of that deal because I was wrong reading the market. So he's out of Philadelphia, which is his prerogative. I don't mind that at all. He's got opportunity for a lot of starting time in Detroit, a lot of playing time on an ascending defense, on a secondary that's improving. Like, he can be a veteran leader to a lot of those guys too. Like, it's not a bad setup for Chauncey. I don't think he ended in like a totally terrible spot, but it very much seems like the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and his team's reticence to meet the Eagles number early on before ever hit free agency was a misstep on their part. Chauncey could have been making more money playing on the same team he played on last year with a lot of guys with whom he was really successful. New defensive coordinator, but similar system, a system that requires a lot of other safeties. There was a misstep by Chauncey, and the Eagles, I think, were right to say, okay, we can't spend 2 weeks trying to get close with this guy on this, and we risk losing James Bradbury, we risk losing Fletcher Cox, we got to make these deals done. And they spent their money on Bradbury and on Slay, who they could have lost, and on Fletch, and let Chauncey go. And safety right now, like, don't look at the Eagles depth chart at safety. It's very harrowing, but there's solutions there. So it should be okay.
Yeah, the back channel stuff is very interesting to me with this. You mentioned the agent's tweet. Like, it didn't really make sense. The contract, the terms he tweeted out, that's not, I mean, I haven't seen an NFL contract like that. So I agree with you. I think Cliff was tweeting that. I saw Cliff tweeting that Chauncey needs to fire his agent and get a new one. I will right, Cliff? I saw a tweet from you going after his agent a little bit, right?
I mean, that's malpractice. Why would you put that information out there like that? Who does?
Doesn't even seem accurate. Yeah,
right.
Like, agents tweeting is bad stuff.
It's a bad idea.
You can't be tweeting as an agent.
On top of that, like, imagine if if they have another free agent who potentially could go to other teams, and they see that, they're like, well, wait, this guy's just putting all our information out on Front Street. Why would you ever do business with a person like that?
Yeah, it's definitely strange. And, you know, we always have, like, right now the big topic of conversation is how much is Lamar Jackson costing himself by not having an agent? And that's like a relevant conversation to have. But how about when a player, like, the agent, you know, very clearly does not do a good job with the player he represents? I mean, this is like beyond worst case scenario of what anyone would have thought for Chauncey. I don't remember a single person thinking Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's going to have to settle.
The Eagles were talking about tagging him. That's like,
well,
1 year.
Maybe. I don't know if that might have been a wrong report or a wrong aggregation or something.
Okay, but even if somebody
that didn't seem crazy. Yeah, that didn't seem crazy.
If at any time anybody in a meeting room said, okay, so we're looking at these numbers. Should we just talk about, like, do we want to use our tag on Gardner Johnson? That's a one-year deal, fully guaranteed. That would have been worth $14.4 million. That's almost double. It's almost double his max value. It is double what he's guaranteed to get off this deal. It's an enormous difference.
Yeah, it's this. Orlando Brown, by the way, is the other one. I mean, I thought he was going to make 23. We just talked about an extra point taken. I thought, like, worst-case scenario, he's making, like, Jawan Taylor is making $20 million a year. I thought, all right, that might be poorly. He's making $16 million a year, but we don't talk about, well, he had an agent, and okay, that did not work. Like, if Orlando Brown or Chauncey Gardner-Johnson did these negotiations without an agent, all we'd be talking about is how they screwed themselves by not having an agent. Yeah. So it's just, you know, I understand the Lamar conversation, but worth pointing out. So I'm very interested in sort of the, like, the details of what the Eagles process in this came out pretty quickly from a number of sources. Like, Jeff McClain had it, Ruben Frank had it, John Clark had it. And so we're not going to sit here and, you know, guess, hey, where did this come from? Just in my, like, experience as a beat writer, sometimes in these situations, you'll check in with the team and they'll kind of want their side represented. Because otherwise, what's the instant reaction from Eagles fans? What? You didn't bring back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson? 1 year, $6.5 million up to eight. How could you not do that? So they kind of want their side out there. And specifically, if it's something that got contentious with an agent, which it looks like this, that might have happened here, they want their side of the story out there. So I thought that was pretty interesting as well. So I don't think it's as simple as, hey, the Eagles should have just done this deal, because the Eagles could have afforded this deal. I mean, this is a very easy deal to do. You can spread out the void years if you want and spread out the cap hit. Like, the cap is not an issue with a deal like this. I think it's more kind of what you were pointing to, probably Chauncey Gardner-Johnson saying, I'll do this deal with the Lions. It's a new team. I'm not doing it with the team who I feel like lowballed me. I mean, it's very similar, honestly, to what happened in August, where he's going at the Saints and he's this huge issue, and then they trade him, and then he's, you know, by most accounts, a good, you know, a good player, and he gives the Eagles no major issues there. But now it's different when it's a new team than when it's the team who you thought was going to give you more and saw what you played through last year and all those things. So I don't know that this deal would have even been on the table for the Eagles, or it could have been the Eagles saying, you know what, we could do this deal, but he's not going to be happy next year and it's going to be more trouble than it's worth. So though it's kind of it is an interesting case. We'll see what Howie Roseman says at owners' meetings next week about it. Now, at the end of the day, if you're listening to this and going, I don't care about any of that, like, you just let a 25-year-old solid starter at a position of need walk in free agency and you've got no one to replace him, guess what? That's valid. That's a valid argument.
It's real valid. Yeah, you're wrong, brother.
And a valid opinion to have. As Ben said, if you play a game tomorrow, Reed Blankenship and Kayvon Wallace are your starting safety. So
suboptimal.
We'll see what else they do. The guys out there still, Taylor Rapp, all guys we've talked about before, Taylor Rapp, Adrian Amos, John Johnson. The fourth one we haven't talked about, Jalen Mills, Ben. I don't actually know your Jalen Mills feelings from your days talking about the Eagles every day. How would you feel about Jalen Mills coming back?
Jalen Mills is an acceptable player who should never have been put in a position to be corner one at any time. And a lot of
in
my
a single
Jim
high
Schwartz,
safety scheme.
A lot of my Jim Schwartz frustrations back in the day were the results of the cornerback usage. I wouldn't mind Mills returning at all. I think if Mills returns, I would characterize that as a sign that they're going to look into, like, maybe some more Maddox at safety stuff, right? Because I think that Mills gives you safety nickel versatility, and you're always maximized in having one player who's versatile if you have a second player who's also versatile in that regard, right? And so, like, you let Mills and Maddox rotate around, and they change coverages, and sometimes they come off the roof, and sometimes they're playing over the slot, and, like, that's all very, very nice and neat. I wouldn't mind Mills at all. If I had to guess, I'm guessing Adrian Amos makes some sense, right? Amos was originally on the Bears 2015 to 2018. That was when
another... Oh, good point. But that's another 30-year-old, I'll just add. But go ahead. You're right about Desai.
Yeah, so he was on the Bears 2015 to 2018. Desai was on the staff that entire time. He actually didn't start coaching safeties until right after Amos left. But presumably, he was working a lot with the safeties because that was the job he got. I think, the reason why I bring up a 30-year-old is because I think that they are absolutely 100% going to have to do a veteran stopgap, right? You can't get two new starters in one free agency swing. Like, even if you want to give John Johnson, like, a semi-decent deal and then draft the guy in round one, even then I think you want something you can set your watch to. And I think you can set your watch to Amos, who, like, Amos's legs are definitely going, but I don't think he was bad for the Packers. I think he's just on the downtrend of his career. So I don't mind Amos too much. Eric Rowe, another interesting name out of Miami, who, like, he's a little bit of like a tight end eraser. You know what I'm saying? He's not a super traditional safety, so I don't know if he fits exactly for them, but he's also like a 30-year-old veteran guy. Obviously, Philly knows Regal. Him.
Yeah.
Yep. Him for your, I don't know if he'd want to even be back in Philadelphia, to be honest. Rodney McLeod, right? He's going to be 33. Oof. Yeah. Been, again, like, talk, like, legs are going. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think Amos is a better option than Rodney. But there's plenty of guys who are around, like, you know, 30, maybe a little bit late 30s or early 30s, excuse me. And I think you can plug and chug for a year, and that makes sense. Then John Johnson makes sense in, like, whatever, 2 years, $10 million with escalators. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe he holds the starting job down for a little bit. But I think you're going to see one of these older names, one of these older guys come in and hang around for a little bit. Deion Bush, right? He was in the Bears with Desai. You're going to see one of these names come in and at least stop the bleeding. And then they're going to start looking at draft options and how much they like Reed Blankenship. But safety's in dire straits.
Yeah, and I actually, like, normally when the team talks up the young player, I'm like, give me a break, you know. Reed Blankenship, we saw play, and I thought he looked fine, like a competent. I mean, we've seen safeties on this team just kill your defense before, and he was not killing your defense. So there were some encouraging signs there. If he's in the mix, I don't think that's the, you know, that's a terrible idea. Taylor Rapp would be if you're looking for a young ascending player whose best football might be ahead of him in the right situation. That would be Taylor Rapp. Adrian Amos, you mentioned, I think he's showing real signs of being a declining player. But like you said, you got to get somebody. You're going to sign some veteran. Yeah. So if it's, say, 1 year, just come in here. We need you for 1 year to get
even
by.
Amos is around to start and to teach Reed some stuff. And then hopefully by week 9, Reed's taking his job. Like, I don't know if Amos has much better options than that right now.
Yeah. John Johnson would make a lot of sense. We'll see what kind of market there is for him. But again, he's 27. I said to have like great leadership qualities, great teammate, has been durable, has played in two high schemes before, played for Brandon Staley when he was the defensive coordinator of the Rams. I think that was his best year. So he would make a lot of sense. We'll see what kind of competition there is for him. And honestly, as we were talking out the Jalen Mills thing, like he would definitely be a useful player for them, whether it's, like,
fine.
You said,
yeah,
safety, corner depth. Like, he's somebody who can fill a couple roles, who, you know, is going to play hard and be competitive, who's been in the locker room before. Yes, you're raising your hand.
Can I toss a name at you?
Okay.
So about this time last year.
Is this a report, trade?
Yeah.
Okay.
About this time last year, reports that the Titans and AJ Brown are far apart on a contract extension. They can't get home. And we know the end of the story.
Yeah.
Get to 2022 NFL draft, first round. Eagles have traded the first round pick for AJ Brown. He wanted $22 million. They were only giving him $20 million, whatever it was. I don't remember. Great trade. Awesome trade. 10 out of 10 trade. Well, well, well. If it isn't our old friends, the Tennessee Titans, who have been trying to work with Kevin Byard, starting safety, all pro safety on a pay cut. But the Pro Bowl safety, this is from Adam Schefter, does not believe his play warrants a decrease in salary. Byard wanted to play for one organization and ultimately retired as a Titan. But the two sides are at a crossroad per sources. And it ain't John Robinson anymore. It ain't the guy you fleeced and you burned him. It's Ron Carthen now. It's a new GM. Same area code though. Same office phone. Call up that number. Yeah, Ron. The big fire sale in Tennessee right now. Moving on from a lot of guys. And Taylor Lewan's out the building. Bud Dupree's out the building. Robert Woods out the building. You're reloading. You need to offload that big safety contract. I tell ya, we got an ex-Titan. He loves it here in Philly. We have a good time. You can send over Kevin Byard. Get yourself a good safety.
I'll be honest. I was bringing up Kevin Byard's Pro Football Reference page, and like an auto ad just started playing. So it was very weird experience. You were talking, but there was some soothing voice for some commercial for I don't even know what the
I wasn't using my soothing voice. I was using my annoying voice. I was up here. I was nasally.
Okay, yeah. That was a very unsettling experience. All right. So you mentioned Kevin Byard. Now Kevin Byard is, how old is Kevin Byard? He's 30 years old.
Kevin Byard's 30.
He's turned 30 in August.
I would say you're not seeing any athletic signs of decline from Byard just yet. Contract structure wise, He's got $13 million per year base salary over the next 2 years. That's about what you'd be paying him. There's little bonuses flipping around from restructures and everything. That the Titans are going to pick all that up because it's all guaranteed. So you'd be getting him under market, right? You're getting Kevin Byard, who's like the A++ version of Marcus Williams for less money than Marcus Williams is getting in terms of like a deep safety. He's a true center fielder. He's a true plug and chug back there. He's going to make plays for you 20 yards behind line of scrimmage. He's an excellent player. He's not a perfect scheme fit, but like, yeah, if the Titans are selling Byard, I'm buying. And if the Eagles rob the Titans blind 2 seasons in a row, I'll lose my mind.
And as Cliff points out, born in Philadelphia, spent the first 13 years of his life in Philadelphia before his, according to Wikipedia,
his parents divorced and he moved to Georgia. Cliff, how do you know? He didn't even play high school ball in Philly. How do you know he's from Philly off the dome?
Bro, I really be on like Wikipedia pages, like reading people's history. And, like, I'm telling you, I have so many like useless sports facts and like where players are from, like just by looking to like researching like where dudes are from, you know, what high school they went to, who they coach, like just random stuff like that. Like, I really be looking into it.
I remember Byard at Middle Tennessee State and like doing the draft process with him, be like, oh, he's from Philly. But he didn't play high school ball in Philly. So I know you didn't know him because of like his high school. So the fact that you just start knowing that Kevin Byard as a teen.
Yeah, he played at Martin Luther King High in Lithonia, Georgia. So like right outside of Atlanta somewhere. So
that's
exactly
correct.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's insane.
But,
dude.
Kevin Byard's a dog. Safety. Kevin Byard's a dog. I would love to have him back in Philly. I hope we can work something out and fleece the Titans again, right?
All right, let's check AJ Brown's Twitter. Let's see if he's working on this. We got to get AJ on it.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, that is, yeah, I wonder if they would be willing to.
I pray to God AJ isn't on this case because, like, do you think
Okay. Somebody hit yo at AJ Brown. Are you recruiting Kevin Byard in Philly at LOL? And AJ quote tweeted and said, I'm not. I play wide receiver, and that's above my pay grade, which. Buddy, come on.
That sounds like he hates Kevin Byard. That's a weird,
maybe he's doing a reverse thing. Maybe he's doing a reverse thing.
And then he said, both them guys, my partners, too wishy-washy for me. Both of them? There's only one guy in this thing.
No, I think he's talking about Chauncey in reference to both those guys.
All right. He didn't want to pick a side.
He's not picking sides, so he's probably
more sense.
Very political answer from AJ though. That was a duck and a dodge. I don't buy that.
I like it though, because then it's like, all right, if the Titans see that, they see AJ Brown tweeting about another Titans player possibly going to Philly and then helping the Eagles, you know, make another run. Like, don't you think they will feel a type of way about that? Like, does another GM get fired if Byard, you know, we somehow play the Titans again and Byard has like two picks and like a strip sack fumble or something like that?
Take all the Titans players. Yeah. That would be something. I don't know. I mean, 30 years old and you're paying him his base salaries right now are $13.6 million for the next 2 years. So you have to get into a situation where, like you said, are the Titans picking up some of that? If so, what are you giving up to land him? So a name to keep in mind, 27 interceptions, Ben, over the last 18, 19, 5 years, second in the NFL. So he is a playmaking safety, a ball hawk type safety, like you mentioned back there. So, all right, we'll see what the Eagles do with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson out, what their move is at safety. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we got other moves to discuss.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit jiffylube.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, File a claim right on the State Farm mobile app and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're back on the Ringers Philly special. I forgot to text you this one on the rundown, Ben, but let's get to it really quick. Isaac Seumalo to the Steelers.
Yeah.
3-year, $24 million deal. My prediction was much closer than it was with Gardner Johnson. I had him at $8.75 million per year, the Alex Kappa deal. I believe you thought for that number, you would have liked Seumalo to come back and you would have liked to see the Eagles make a move there. Now, that was before we knew what they were spending money on with other stuff. But do you still kind of agree with that? Would you, if you could have it all over again, would you say, hey, some of this money might have been better spent paying Seumalo in that $8 million a year range? Or are you okay with what they did?
I still think Seumalo is worth more than $8 million per, right? That's by average annual value, like 20th among guards. And to me, like, you know, that's about where Seumalo belongs. I still think you could have given a little bit more. He's still, he's 29, right? Yes, he's still under 30. Yeah. He's been healthy. He's been effective on multiple sides. He's a handy player to have. I get why the Eagles did it, though, right? I mean, after Bradbury plus Slay restructure, which I don't really think we know just yet how the Slay restructure is going
to
affect.
Yeah, like, I've got that on here. We got a little more information. Yeah, so we can get to that in a minute.
And then obviously the Fletcher Cox return to the Eagles on a 1 year. Kelsey returns to the Eagles on a 1 year. Graham returns to the Eagles on a 1 year. Like, you just used up a lot of space this year. And you look at Seumalo and you go, okay, solid player. We can sign him for market value. But we've been really good at developing offensive linemen. We've drafted a lot of interior guys previously. We have Jeff Stoutland, the ultimate cheat code along the offensive line. This is probably a spot where we can cut a corner. And even though we would have been totally fine playing Isaac Seumalo 24/3, we're going to let another team do it and wish him all the best on the other side of the state. So I don't mind it. I just think, I thought it was a very quality signing for the Steelers.
Yeah, I think it's the right move by the Eagles. It's not an easy one. Like you mentioned, he's been a good player. All the teammates, the coaches in there talk about how smart he is, how cerebral he is working with Jason Kelce. Figuring out protections, figuring out adjustments on the fly. He hasn't been as healthy as we would think. He was very healthy last year, but has only played more than 9 games twice in his 7-year career.
2 season-ending injuries, yeah.
Yeah, he was injured in 2020 and 2021. So there is a bit of an injury history. You're talking about paying for ages, 29, 30, and 31. You're talking about guard, a non-premium position. You have maybe somebody on the roster and Cam Jurgens, who you can, you know, maybe give a shot there. You have other options to fill that spot. You have a great position coach. And so I'm actually on board with letting Seumalo walk.
I will say one thing. I talked about how the Eagles like to have tackle-sized guards, right? And I was bringing up names, and somebody referenced the fact that Isaac Seumalo isn't that much bigger than the Cam Jurgens. Hit me up on Twitter about it. It's absolutely correct. If you look at the course of guards that they've had, typically they like tackle-sized guys. Brandon Brooks, Hubble Luvati, Jack Driscoll, right? They typically prefer to go that way. Landon Dickerson will play tackle before, but Seumalo is an exception that proves the rule. One thing I didn't realize, though, when I was looking into that, Jurgens is, like, long. He's way longer than I thought. He's under 6'3", he's 300 pounds. He has 33.3 inch arms. He's a long dude for being short, which at the further away you get from center, the longer I'd like your arms to be. I didn't realize that. And that makes me feel a little bit more bullish about the idea of testing Jurgens out of guard and seeing how it looks.
Yeah, I thought he was a good prospect. I was confused by the pick at the time a little bit because I was just like, I think Kelsey's going to keep playing. So do you really want to use a pick here if he's a center-only prospect, which a lot of people thought he was? But I kind of give them the benefit of the doubt. If they think he has that guard versatility with the coaching, I think that could work out okay for them. Now, I do think they're going to need some guard depth too because Dickerson, I just don't know how many seasons you can kind of count on him being there for all 17 games. He had the injury history in college, but we'll see what they do there. Basically, I kind of just give them the benefit of the doubt at guard and figure they might find someone even on day 3 who ends up being a starter in week 1. All right. Backup quarterback, Ben, Marcus Mariota a 1 year, $5 million deal with incentives up to $8 million. You called me out during our previous show where you were like, geez, you really don't like Marcus Mariota.
Listen, anti-Marcus.
I don't enjoy watching Marcus Mariota play football. Having said that, I think this is a perfectly fine use of resources for a backup quarterback. I thought he was going to be more expensive than $5 million. You know, you look at the backups in the NFL, he's probably in the top tier of the backup quarterbacks there. And so I have no issue with this move. If you're wondering why I don't particularly enjoy watching him play football, there are a lot of negative plays with Marcus Mariota. Last 5 years, Ben, 54 quarterbacks have had 500-plus dropbacks. Three have taken sacks on at least 10% of those dropbacks. Justin Fields, who also makes some spectacular plays, Josh Rosen, and Marcus Mariota.
Rosen. I was trying to figure out who the third
one
was.
That was a tough one. Yeah. I'm like, wait, he had 500 dropbacks? I forgot about that. Probably that
Rosen
all in that rookie year. Yeah. So there's that. Mariota was one of five quarterbacks last year with an interception rate of 3% or higher. He does not make a lot of wow plays. He fumbles. The other thing I was thinking about, and I would be curious what you think about this. Like, we think about Mariota and the analysis is, oh, they've got someone they can use the quarterback inclusive run game. I'm not like, yes, but also if you're at the point where Jalen Hurts is injured and Marcus Mariota with an injury history is your quarterback, like, I don't know how many times you really want Marcus Mariota running the ball in these games. So again, I'm okay with it. I'm not like, oh, Howie season, home run, Marcus Mariota. I'm definitely not in that boat for this signing. I think it's fine. Where do you land with this one?
I think it's good. I agree with you that if you're in a spot where Jalen Hurts is hurt, and you're running Mariota a lot, you're worried about the injury history and the shoulder problems and how he's going to have to take on that contact. I do think it is more beneficial than you're given allowance for in terms of having a quarterback who can play in a similar role and you don't have to change too much of the offense.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, yeah. Obviously, like Gardner Minshew hopped in and the Eagles dumped 30 on the Cowboys. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's other ways to do it, but it is nice to be able to have continuity in terms of how the offenses play. I think that the Eagles acknowledge that quarterback rushing ability, and especially quarterback rushing ability at size, right? Not small skinnies, but big guys. Jalen Hurts, Marcus Mariota, both big dudes. That is a market that remains under-tapped. It is a competitive edge that remains under-appreciated so far in the league, and now they got two of those guys. So I think that's good. I do think, quarterback three is a little bit important, because let's say Hurts is out for like 4 to 6 weeks. You'd love to really believe Marcus is going to stay healthy for those 4 to 6 weeks. A little worried about that one.
Yeah, he's coming off a knee injury, season-ending knee injury, right?
He's going to be taking a lot of hits. But altogether, like, extremely likable dude. I think, set well for the backup role, has a lot of experience, has playoff experience. So you feel good about, okay, if we have to play for four games, we can go 2 for 2 with this guy. And that's kind of what you want with your backup. Let's try to stay 500. Let's not lose ground. I feel okay about that. So he's one of the better backups in the league. To me, there's no question about that, and the contract's not that big. So QB2, baby. Eagles, that's what they care about. You know what the Marcus Mariota signing did remind me of? Because I didn't get to really like get into the business here at this time.
Yeah.
I totally forgot how hard Chip Kelly was trying to trade up.
Oh my gosh, it was a wild story. It was the entire offseason. That's all the conversation was about.
So Bleeding Green did a little Marcus Mariota multiverse thing. It was Dave Mangles. And he's putting in some of the old tweets from Rap. I didn't realize what package are the Eagles talking about to go to number one, number two? This is word for word from Rap's tweet. 2 first-rounders, a third rounder, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Boykin, there's a name, Michael Kendricks, and more. The Eagles have offered Sam Bradford, another name, as part of their trade package. The Eagles are doing all this, and they just stayed at 20, drafting Nelson Aguilar, and then a year later, it's Carson Wentz. But holy smokes, man. What a weird timeline.
Yeah, that was that was a fun offseason with all those rumors floating around.
Were you very pro Mariota to the Eagles? You thought it was a good move?
I don't think I was like home run, but I was like, yeah, like if you're going to run this offense and you don't, I was basically anyone but Sam Bradford. I did not enjoy watching Sam Bradford play football. So I was basically like, yeah, swing for the fences. You have Chip Kelly. See what happens. I think I was probably on board with doing it.
Cliff, where were you at on Marcus Mariota circa 2015 to the Philadelphia Eagles? If I'm guessing, I would say you were a big Mariota guy. You were all about it.
Yeah, I got to check my tweets, man. I got to look. I'm sure there's some tweet history of me talking about Mariota. I might have been all for it, but I really hated Chip Kelly like his whole time here. Just, no, because he got rid of, like, I grew up on Shady and D-Jack, right? And
Yeah. April 30th, 2015, at DeBull Cliff. Can't wait till Marcus Mariota is an Eagle tonight. Same night. Nothing matters if the Eagles don't get Mariota. That team will be in no way a contender for a Super Bowl.
I mean, was I wrong, though? They weren't a contender for a Super Bowl, right?
I'm not sure. You weren't wrong on that part of it. Didn't Mariota end up being like a difference maker?
Was that like Nick Foles' year? What was it?
That was 2015. So they had taken Nick Foles season previous, or two drafts previous, excuse me, 2013.
Okay. Was that now who actually started that year though? Was that Nick Foles' like starting year? Like the one year where he like had the good year and then fell off or whatever?
2015 Eagles. I feel like that was the year that Foles started playing for them.
And then they went to the playoffs, right? With DeMarco Murray and everything.
My Mariota tweet with the most engagement was from April 30th, 2015. Goodell completely butchers Mariota's name in one of the biggest moments of his life. Well done. I stand by that. Yeah. Goodell, learn how to pronounce the frickin' guy's name. He's a top pick in the NFL draft. It's literally the least you can do as NFL commissioner is to learn how to pronounce that guy's name, you clown. Sorry, getting fired up about that again.
It was 2015, so the Eagles went 7-9. They were 10th in the NFC. So they did not make the playoffs at that time. This was Chip got fired, Pat Shurmur.
In the
interim. Which, fun fact about Chip Kelly getting fired, I was at this at the time, this was whatever it was, like early 2016. I was speaking to a good friend of mine about how I was going to try to ask out this girl that now subsequently is my wife. And while I was having that very serious conversation with this friend of mine, the Chip Kelly is fired push notification came to my phone. And all I wanted to do was get on my phone and look at it and like engage with it, whatever. But I wanted to be respectful of the person I was talking to. I just remember sitting in that chair. I could tell you the exact chair I was sitting in. I know where I was. Just like a bundle of energy. Like, I need to get out of this conversation so I can engage with Chip Kelly being fired. But anyway, so 2015, yes, it was the DeMarco Murray year. And then passing-wise, it was Bradford for 14 games and then Mark Sanchez for the other two.
Oh man, that was an awful disaster. Yes. See, yeah, we definitely could have used Mariota that year at least, right, Joe?
Sorry, but which year was it?
2015. So 14 games of Bradford, two games.
Yeah,
of
I went to Seattle that year. Yeah, so I didn't cover them that year. But yeah, that was the end of the Chip era. Sorry, I was just you sent me down this rabbit hole. I'm looking at all my tweets from 2015 during draft season. It's like March 25th impression I got today, quite possible Eagles looked seriously into Mariota, realized they had no shot and moved on. Maybe Tennessee wants him at 2. I don't know. I must've done some good reporting. That's, I don't remember where I got that from or why I said that, but that was my, impression there. And then just, yeah, continuing to go down this more, like I must've written 50 posts on Marcus Mariota. Ron Jaworski, here's one. I was doing an aggregation post. Jaws, I've heard it from a couple people. Chip Kelly said Mariota will win multiple Super Bowls in the NFL. Oh my gosh.
If the elbow hadn't gotten hurt, he would have won in that 2018 season, man. All right, that's sliding doors moment.
Oh, and then I had a joke here in April that got some good engagement. Tebow move makes perfect sense. Use him as trade bait to get the number one pick in Mariota. Probably don't even have to include anything else, which people got the joke there and
good
enjoyed
one,
that one.
That's a banger. So yes, that's a banger.
Thank you. I was tweeting away. I was writing away. All right, here I was waiting for this to load. So I had to make an official prediction about what the Eagles were going to do. And I don't know. This looks very long. I don't even know what I'm saying they did. All right. I think I said they're going to get him.
Well, there you go. There's the Marcus Mariota 2015.
Yeah, I said when all is said and done, I don't see the Titans taking Mariota. And because I'm feeling bold, I'll go ahead and make the prediction. It might end up being some kind of insane overpay, but ultimately I think Kelly winds up pulling the trigger and getting his guy. So I predicted two opposite things so that one of them would be right. Young journalist, that's a nice trick.
Jot that down.
Yeah, definitely want to do that one. All right, that was a fun rabbit hole. Mariota is fine. I will say this, my last note on Mariota. Like, we view him as a runner. When Jalen Hurts runs the ball, you're like, okay, yep, he's got this. When Mariota runs the ball, I feel nervous every time he runs the ball that he's going to fumble, he's going to get hurt, he'll take some unnecessary big hits. So I don't know. It's, again, I'm not a huge fan of his, but I think it's a fine move. All right. Eagle sign Greedy Williams. Give me 10 seconds on whether you think this is okay or not.
I haven't watched Greedy Williams play in quite a bit, and Greedy Williams has been hurt. I told myself, I was like, I'm going to get some Greedy Williams film done before the pod, and then I watched TV last night.
Bad use of your time.
He's a highly drafted player. He's got quality athleticism. He's got a bad injury history. He's a flyer at corner, the way the Eagles always take flyers at corners. And there's a 10% chance he hits, and there's a 90% chance he doesn't. Other than that, nothing notable.
I think that's it. Turned 26 in December, started 21 games in 4 seasons for the Browns. I tend to think when a guy has great traits and it doesn't work out, that it's probably not going to work. You know, like there's a reason why it's not working out. So whether it's durability or quality of play, he probably projects as like your cornerback 4, but you hope to draft over him or find somebody who's better than him. If he surprises you, great, but I can't imagine they're committing much to Greedy Williams. And then the last note I have on here, Darius Slay gets the pay bump, gets the extension. Benny Souls was right. I was wrong on our last podcast. I mean, I thought that, no, they're not giving anything in. They're not giving in at all to Darius Slay. I was wrong. The reports are that he gets $23 million guaranteed, whereas previously he had a $17 million salary for 2023, and that was it. So you're giving him $6 million more in guaranteed money for the optionality of keeping him in 2024 and 2025. Darius Slay turns 33 in January. I'm not sure why I want the option of keeping him when he's going to be that old for the 2024 season. I looked this up, Ben. 0 cornerbacks last year were starters at age 33 or older. If we go to age 32, it was 1, Patrick Peterson. Slay's 32 this year. He's going to be 33 next year. Why am I don't know if this is just a, hey, let's, you know, do a favor to Rosenhaus or what this is. Again, this is one where let's see what Howie Roseman says next week. But it seems like they gave in. Again, this is why I was so adamant. I didn't think they were going to give anything up in that negotiation. But they did give Darius Slay more guaranteed money to be a cornerback for them in 2023 and the option to keep him beyond that.
Yeah. The thing with Slay getting older is this. I would have told you in the 2021 season that Slay's legs were going and that he was going to be bad. And then they kind of went-ish and they didn't fully go. And he also did a great job adjusting to it. And now he's playing quite well. So I'm curious, far be it from me to bet on a 33-year-old corner, 33-year-old any position, really hanging in there. Slay's already got me once where I was like, oh, it's coming. Like, this is not good. He's old and this is bad and he's falling off.
Yeah.
He looks just fine, really. He's definitely doesn't have the foot speed he used to, but he knows how to use his length better. And like, he knows he's better in zone. He's got better eyes. Like, he knows how to kind of cut the corners you need to as you get older. So I trust him there a little bit. So the main thing is this. We don't have official contract structure out yet. And until we have official contract structure out, I can't say functionally how long the deal is. But Slay did the Eagles did the right thing when they signed Slay to the first extension, which was to basically say, all right, let's give ourselves a trapdoor in 2023 so that as he gets older and he's worth we're paying a lot of money, we can move on from him or we can restructure him and we don't have to worry. You know, obviously we're not going to sign him longer than that. And then Darius Slay did the right thing, which was to then be really good and then look at that final year and go, no, this was here because you thought I was going to be bad and I'm actually good. So you got to fix this now. And then the Eagles did the right thing to say, we'll go see how much money you can make somewhere else. And then both teams did the right thing to stay in Philadelphia. So this is how the dance goes, right? Like we can say as much as we want, all right, don't pay a 33-year-old corner. You know, don't commit money to the future. But the reality is that Darius Slay was the corner one for one of the league's best passing defenses that went to the Super Bowl. He earned it. And a part of doing business is making the locker room feel like guys like that are going to be protected. And you look at like the performance the Eagles got out of Brandon Graham this past season. They do a good job of getting production out of 30-plus-year-old guys. Like, you know, they have history of these guys doing well and being leaders in the locker room. So I understand why they did it. I think it makes sense to give him guaranteed money to secure him for this year and probably into next year. I'll just be really interested to see where the money is and what that means for flexibility with Slay moving forward.
Yeah, I think this will be among the most interesting topics when Howie Roseman talks next week, when we get more details on what happened. Was there another team actually involved and they had to mm-hmm. go this route if they wanted to keep him? Is there more to the story? Because I don't know, yeah. Maybe it's from me growing up on the Andy Reid, Joe Banner Eagles. They're not like making moves like this. They're all right. He's 32. Mm-hmm. We know the history of cornerbacks at this age. We're not giving in at all here, and we'll figure it out with another player. That's not what they did here with Darius Slay. So we'll see what Howie says about that. All right. Anything else? How do you feel going forward here? Safety, linebacker, something else on your mind? Well,
let me cut in real quick, because while we've been talking, Jim Trotter was on NFL Network. And
I love Jim Trotter.
Giving some context to CJ Gardner-Johnson's departure from Philadelphia. He's got a 48-second clip up on his Twitter, and he's reading it out, and he says, he reports that the Eagles offered Chauncey Gardner-Johnson a 3-year deal worth $24 million total, backloaded, worth $17 million in the final year. He reports that, which is exactly what the agent tweeted. So I'm presuming he's getting that from the agent. Okay. And like you said, that's a very odd structure. If it were really worth 24 total, and $17 million of that was in year three, only $7 million in the first 2 years. To me, I'd be shocked if the Eagles offered a contract that actually is that. I think that probably is part of the information. I don't think that's the full information, because you just don't see deals structured like that. But he then goes on to say, and this is important, the Eagles were given the opportunity, he says, to match the 1-year, $8 million contract offer from Detroit and passed.
Oh, that's interesting information.
Assuming he got piece one from the agent, which I would wager, because the agent tweeted the exact same thing, then I'm guessing he got piece two from the agent as well. And that, I think, can have some gray area to it, just given my read on this guy and his experience of negotiating with the Eagles on Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's behalf, whatever. Like, there's a lot of, to me, uncertainty there. But we talked a lot about how, okay, well, then eventually, you know, you go take this deal with Detroit and your bridge is burned with the Eagles and whatever. But Trotter, who, like you said, loved Jim Trotter. Like, Trotter's got good stuff. Trotter reporting that the Eagles could have matched it and passed, to me, is an interesting layer there. So I wanted to just update that off of what we've been talking about. That dropped as we were recording.
That's really interesting. If that were the case, then it is a matter of, did the Eagles think, all right, we can afford this, but man, he's, you know, and I hate to like keep painting, like, you know, we don't have like concrete stuff about how Gardner-Johnson has been an issue, other than he's been an instigator on the field. But then but sometimes you read the market, and it's like last year the Saints were getting rid of him, and all they could get was a fifth and a sixth round pick for a 25-year-old defensive back who had played really well. This year, he gets a chance to test the entire open market, and the best he does is 1 year up to $8 million. So again, we don't have all the information, but there are indicators that there's something there that, you know, that teams are conservative or hesitant to pay him big money. So maybe it was a situation where the Eagles said, that's going to be a problem if we pay him on that 1 year deal that the Lions are offering him, because he's not going to be a happy camper and it might be more trouble than it's worth. So we'll see if we get some more information on that. I love when Trotter goes at Goodell in those press conferences. Trotter's just a nice guy. Generally, I've always enjoyed my interactions with him, but when he does that, I'm like, oh, God, I need to be more like this guy. He's fantastic.
Trotter asks Goodell a question at the Super Bowl, and then the next day opens a doc on his computer that's Super Bowl question 2024, and then spends the next 364 days crafting that son of a gun. And he's editing, revising word choice, and he pops out, bang. Trotter's the man.
Have always enjoyed a Jim Trotter. All right. I think anything else on your mind? So safety and linebacker, right, are the two areas we're looking at where you're probably adding a veteran at some point between now and the draft, I would say. Because you lost two starting linebackers. You got N'Kobe Dean, if you trust him. And then at safety, as we mentioned, you got Blankenship and Kayvon Wallace, and that's it.
Yeah. Linebacker can sustain multiple guys, and safety can sustain multiple guys. You can add dudes. When did Marquise Blair get on the Eagles? I didn't see that. But anyway, you can sustain multiple guys on safety and at linebacker. The other spot that I would say I wouldn't be surprised if they look around for a veteran guy to just play to have on the building is at guard.
Just,
there's a ton of interior offensive linemen right now who are just available. Really good guys to kind of regular vets or whatever. But they're a dime a dozen, and so you can bring a guy in. Though I wonder, you do have to wonder how much interest they have in just one-year deals altogether. Like, they're not just signing Chauncey to a one-year deal. Again, we don't know what the Slay contract looks like. But they might just be 2023 with the guys that they expect to carry through 53-man cuts and with their draft picks. They might just be at a point where they're like, okay, we don't got any room in 2023. We got to be signing guys to multi-year deals. A big part of the Eagles' accounting that they're still dealing with right now is whether or not they end up actually making two first round picks. Because if they make a pick at 10, that guy costs a lot of money in year one. Not like a lot of money, but like a decent amount of money. They have to, you know, start to think about August and September and how all that accounting is going to work. Eagles trade back out of 10 and pick at 20. You got a couple more $1 million to work with in 2023 just from that trade alone. So that's the sort of thing that you also have to be cognizant of just as you're planning out your money for the next few months.
Also, by the way, we haven't really talked about it much since the end of the season. Do they want to be first on Jalen Hurts? Is that the next order of business? Is to, hey, we like most of our roster. Let's start doing this before Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow and potentially Lamar Jackson do something. Let's be first to the market there. So that's the other thing to kind of keep an eye on, where really if I woke up any day to the news that Jalen Hurts had signed a mega deal, that would not shock me, because I do think they probably would like to be first there before those other guys sign. All right. That'll wrap it up. We'll see what else the Eagles do this week. If they do something else, Ben and I will be back. I'm sure there will be a Sixers show this week. I'm going to figure out the Thursday show. I was thinking of maybe doing a big Phillies preview. I mean, they start the season next week. Phillies. So we'll see what happens with the Eagles, whether we want to go that route or whether we're going to do something else. All right. Thank you to Ace producer Cliff Augustine. Thank you to Ben Solak. Thank you to those of you who continue to rate, review, subscribe, unsubscribe on Spotify, wherever you're listening to podcasts.
1 million.
Oh, yeah. We have what? Cliff gave us the news that we have passed 1 million downloads. Cliff, what's the word we use? 1 million.
Officially
listens?
Passed 1 million downloads thanks to the great people of Philadelphia, the great Eagles fans, great Sixers fans, the great Phillies fans, hopefully the Flyers fans one day, right, Joe?
Yeah, we'll see what day that is. I'll be calling Charlie O'Connor, my friend from The Athletic, if we ever have to talk about Flyers.
Yeah, some Union fans.
What's going on.
Just fans of the city, man. Shout out to everybody that showed love and support. And 1 million is crazy, man, in the short time we've been doing this. And we can just go up from here, pretty much.
There you go. I love it. Thanks to everybody who is listening. Thank you to Cliff, really, for spearheading the whole thing. I mean, he's the one we should be thanking for 1 million. He's producing every single freaking episode here. All right. Appreciate you, Cliff. Thank you. Thank you to Ben. Thank you to Cliff. Thank you to the listeners. We will be back soon on the Ringers Philly Special. We'll be right back.